you're listening to Body Language. What's the cost of having a baby at an American hospital? Well, to find out, what would you do? Just go online, make some phone calls, and do some comparison shopping. You know, like kind of buying an automobile where you have real rights as a consumer. The truth is, in most cases, hospitals and insurance companies can't or won't give you a price for a so-called typical vaginal birth, or they just evade the question. Well, for answers, we turn to our favorite investigative journalist and author, Jennifer Margulis, who has written The Business of Baby. And I will tell you, she gets in your face and on your case about the crass commercialization of pregnancy, delivery, and baby raising in America. Jennifer, it's nice to have you on Body Language.
Thanks for having me, Christopher.
What is going on in America with the cost of having a baby? And I'm referring to an article that I know you saw in the New York Times entitled, "What Does Birth Cost? It's Hard to Tell."
Yeah, well, that's one of the biggest problems is the lack of transparency in our birthing system. So you can have a baby at a hospital and be charged one fee, and you can go 2 miles away to another hospital and be charged literally $20,000 more.
Why is there such a discrepancy? Does it have something to do with insurance or, as you say, lack of transparency, or just this bizarre $2 trillion a year healthcare system that we have?
Well, you know, the United States spends more money in healthcare than any country in the world. Not just any country in the industrialized world, but any country in the world. And our health insurance is private. We don't have any, you know, national system in place to assure that the costs don't skyrocket. So basically, you know, different hospitals charge differently, and they charge what they can get away with. And this happens in the hospital system, and it also happens in pediatrics.
Let the buyer beware. In fact, I'm looking at an article, the average 2012 amount paid for childbirth in the U.S., conventional delivery, whatever that is, just under $10,000. A cesarean is $15,000. Let's compare that to Switzerland, $4,000 versus $10,000 for a conventional delivery, and $5,000 versus $15,000 for a cesarean. But the shocking thing is, aside from the pricing, that our infant mortality rates in this country are awful.
Yeah, and our maternal mortality rates. We have among the highest maternal mortality rate of any country in the industrialized world. So people don't realize that more than 2 women a day are dying in childbirth or because of childbirth-related causes in American hospitals.
Why should people, women, families, and certainly men too, buy a copy of The Business of Baby and read your chapter, especially entitled The Real Cost of Childbirth? What will people learn, and how will this make them a more effective, informed consumer?
Well, you know, it really seems intuitively wrong that we have a country that spends more on childbirth than any other country in the industrialized world, and yet we have among the worst outcomes. So everybody needs to know the answer to the question, why? Why is this happening?
Why is this happening, Jennifer?
Well, that's you. Now I'm answering your question about why you need to buy the book. I mean, I look at that in great detail about what is going wrong and what is the failure in our maternal, you know, fetal health system. And, you know, this is a hotly debated question, and everybody is going to have a different opinion about it. What a doctor will tell you is it's because women are too fat and too old or too black. So literally, they'll say, you know, African-American women are dying more. Women who develop gestational diabetes or who gain too much weight are dying more. Women have to have C-sections. But if you actually look into it and you look at the numbers, that isn't the whole story. The truth.
Well, let's look at the rates for C-sections. What is the rate of cesarean in the United States now?
So according to the latest statistics that we have, it's 32.8%. So 32.8% of births will end up in C-section in the United States. That is off the charts compared to Scandinavia. The average rate of a C-section, C-section rate in Scandinavia is about, it depends on which country, but it's about 14%.
We have taken a formerly emergency procedure, and these are my words, and turned it in a cesarean, turned that procedure, that surgical procedure, into an issue of convenience for all concerned. Oh, well, I think I'll have my baby today at I think 3 o'clock would be convenient, and you know, then I can invite my friends over, and who knows, I might even make the 6 o'clock news.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the issues. Our high cesarean rates, there is no question that that is contributing to our maternal mortality rates. And there are other things that are going wrong. We are not practicing evidence-based medicine in our hospitals in the United States. We are using technology when it's inappropriate, like too many C-sections, and we're relying on things that we know do not work. Can I give you an example?
I can hardly wait.
So continuous fetal monitoring is a really good example. That is something that is used in almost every hospital in America. What happens is if you're hooked up to a continuous fetal monitor, your freedom of movement is restricted. We know two things for sure. We know that you must allow women freedom of movement during labor in order to ensure a good outcome. That means a woman needs to be able to get up, sit down, walk, go on all fours, sway her hips. But if you're on a continuous fetal monitor, it's almost impossible to do that. The other thing we know is that it does not help prevent fetal injury. But what it does is it gives us false positives. Does that make sense?
Not only that, but I understand that fetal monitoring is also used to intimidate and frighten women. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. And it's done in the kindest voice. I mean, let's not think about the big bad doctor. That's not the way it works. I was recently at a birth, and it was a labor and delivery nurse looked at the woman in labor, a healthy 25-year-old, and she said, "I would never recommend anything to you that would harm you or your baby." And she said it in the kindest, most gentle voice with a big smile on her face. And everything she recommended, Christopher, was against evidence-based medicine, including the continual fetal monitoring. So they had two monitors on this poor young woman, one for the fetus and one for the strength of her uterine contractions. That machine malfunctioned, and they insisted on putting a catheter up her vagina onto the side of her baby's head. And when she said, "I don't want that," and she said, "Isn't there a risk of infection?" the nurse smiled at her again and said, "Absolutely. There isn't. Any time you introduce a foreign body into your vagina, you are risking infection." But when she said, "I don't want to have it," they said, "You have to have it."
And rising above foreign bodies is Jennifer Margulis, the author of The Business of Baby, What Doctors Don't Tell You, What Corporations Try to Sell You, and How to Put Your Pregnancy, Childbirth, and Baby Before Their Bottom Line. Jennifer, how can people learn more about you, The Business of Baby, and your work as an investigative reporter?
They can go to my website, which is www.jennifermargulis.net. I have a blog there that's very interactive, so readers can write. They can contact me there. There's also a very active Facebook community education page that we're talking about pregnancy, childbirth, anything that has to do with the first year of life, especially diapers and circumcision and well baby visits and vaccines. And so that they can find by going on Facebook and searching Business of Baby.
I understand that people have literally bought armfuls of The Business of Baby to give to their friends and clients. Is that correct?
Yeah, it seems to be. I actually got an email recently from a doctor who told me that it was required reading. She had made it as required reading for any of her new clients. And she's a woman who, she's actually a psychiatrist who deals with well women care and helps women who want to get pregnant, who are dealing with infertility issues, helps them work through those issues. And she wrote to me and she said she bought 14 copies of the book.
Wow. Jennifer, what is the bottom line of The Business of Baby? Why do people need to read your book preferably before they have a child?
You know, we need to be empowered, and we need to know that birth and childhood are absolutely wonderful, awesome, fun, empowering, sexy things to do. And we live in a culture that's based on fear. If you want to have a really good pregnancy and have a lot of fun during childbirth and actually, you know, enjoy your baby and have an alert and healthy baby, if you read my book, you'll avoid the pitfalls and you'll avoid the fear and you'll feel totally empowered to have the kind of pregnancy and the kind of birth that's going to be the healthiest, the gentlest, and the most fun for you and your baby.
Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language on Radio MD.
Thanks for having me, Christopher. It was a lot of fun.
And I'm Christopher Springman. Thanks for listening. And remember, be well.